हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावहितमस्तमभिर्विश्वावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Then Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 18, Character of One in Ecstatic Love, page 33. Srila Jiva Goswami. There may be some external bad conduct, vaigunyam, but one should not be hostile towards him, because by having bhava, the person cannot be contaminated by those external actions. Footnote 13. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.276 points out that the bhava bhakta still has anarthas and could commit sin or aparad. This distinguishes him from the prema bhakta. However, even if he makes mistakes, because of his level of advancement, Krishna takes care of him. Right? Because they're so absorbed like that, then they'll see these things and move forward very comfortably. Right? In some sense, it's not based on that they're going to adjust because of the material punishment. Because the reason that they're engaged in a particular level of understanding means in this devotional service because of the attraction to Krishna. So the point is that if something goes wrong, it means that that moment you're not acting in that capacity, so you just start acting in that capacity again. Does that make sense? Like that. Yeah. Thus it is said, whether one is pure or contaminated, and regardless of one's external situation, simply by remembering the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, one can cleanse one's internal and external existence. Garuda Purana. So it's remembering the Lord that purifies. See, all the different things given in the Dharma Shastra basically is for those who are not devotees. Right? It means you have the standards of how you act, but all the different punishments, this and that, those are there because people aren't devotees. So they're not going to remember the Lord. Or if they're going to remember, they'll remember at that moment, then they'll stop remembering. Right? Not like devotees who are constantly being engaged in remembrance. That makes sense. So one has to have faith that devotional service actually accomplishes everything. Then one can apply this very nicely. If not, then one will be very caught up in justice and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Can we say that in that context, devotee means person who try to be a devotee?
Yeah, it means someone who's come to the point of Shraddha and is surrendered to the process.
Yes.
Not just someone who believes in God.
Yes.
Because there, it's as we were discussing this morning, you can just appendage that onto basically an extended form of pranamoy. Because
yes.
It makes it work better. The social construct works, you know.
Yes.
You know, it's just like someone says, like in the Western, I don't know if they say anymore, but before it was like, you know, someone was a good Christian or, you know, this is the Christian way to do something. But then the point is, so what is the definition of that Christian way of doing something? You know, what is that? What does it look like? What are the rules? Darn, it's just a feeling that is pranamoy, whatever the general public has accepted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so therefore then they following that, Now you're following the rules. But they made up the rules. They defined the rules. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. You know, it says, okay, you know, you go to the church and you put on your suit like that. But the priests, they don't put on suits. They have some other stuff they wear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just a matter, and then kids, do they wear the suits? No, then they'll wear something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just it's all decided who wears what, because where did that come from? Who created that? Right? It means what's like, who is it? Michelangelo? I think the outfit that the Pope and all those guys wear, the cardinals and all that, I think he created that. He designed that.
He designed it.
Yeah, he designed all that. And even the guards, the Swiss guards, he designed all
that's
that.
Really good.
Yeah, yeah. So he designed all that. So that was, he designed it. Otherwise, before that, you know, I think they just kind of wore black.
So it's an original couture?
Huh?
He was the original.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, he's starting the couture, yeah. The French might have a little bit different take on that. No?
Yes.
You know, but they may say it started with, was it Charlemagne?
Charlemagne.
Yeah. So, you know, so, you know, wherever it is, they take it back to. So, the point is that, where were we?
Design.
No, but I mean, what was before that?
Oh, the point is, pranamaya functions better with the concept of God.
Yes, it functions better with the concept of God. So they'll have that element to it, but it's not that they're necessarily, it's just about following the laws of God. And even if you're following the laws of God, where do those laws come from? Right? Because we don't hear about, you know, it means in the New Testament, you don't hear about any laws of God. They're all in the Old Testament, right? New Testament is how those who are committed to those laws, how they practice and their understanding and, you know, and their discussions. But then the point is that still, the whole point is all those people who wrote those, you know, the early ones, the original ones, they were all Jewish. So they would have just been following that. So where did this come from? It was created. Does that make sense? So it's a difficulty is that the pranamayic aspect, we create it and then we say that we're doing this and it's good.
Yes.
But here is that it's because you're doing something in connection with Krishna that's authorized by the shastras, by authority.
Yes.
Then that practice, that keeps you in the pure state. So for the devotee, all the only consideration you have in the way of prayaschitta is what situation is best for them to continue their devotional service so it'll be strong. So if the one they're in is the best situation, just there's a deviation, they just continue doing that. And if it's there's some weakness that by being in that situation it'll be a problem, then you might make an adjustment. Does that make sense? But this idea that you have to do something outside of that for upliftment, that's illusory. Means if you see that someone still doesn't, then you might start putting external things on, just restrictions, just because then it makes them aware. But the idea is that punishment and restriction, that's how it's going to improve bhakti. It's a neophyte mentality. You know, at best. It's a mundane mentality that the neophyte remains attached to. So here they're pointing out is this person, here they're specifically talking about the person on the platform of bhava, here. And so because of their absorption in Krishna and all that, they're, even if something goes wrong, then by that association, by association, and by just absorbed in their service, that's what's going to correct it, nothing else. Right? And if it's a matter of, oh, but no one will accept that and that, who are these no ones? You know, and possibly that would be a symptom of maybe it's not important. Like, you know, are you very worried about the opinion of no one? Yeah, so that no one will accept this. And that, exactly, you know, so that's the point. You know, what do we care for no one? You know, we care about people of substance. In the optus, what is their opinion? But if we're just going to go by, oh, no one will accept it, the point is if they don't accept it, that means a lot of people aren't preaching properly, aren't training, aren't teaching. Otherwise, why is it they won't accept it? And if their standard is the gold standard, then we're going the wrong direction. We're trying to go towards prema. We should be trying to go towards, you know, whatever it is that the no ones are so absorbed in. You know, it's a consideration, but the point is you have to train. You have to explain. And it can be explained. Just no one bothers. Okay, this person cannot be criticized because he has accomplished the goal, right? From sadhana, you're trying to get to bhava. He has attained bhava, kritarthaha. So, from sadhana, you're trying to get to bhava. This person has come to the platform of bhava. So then one tries to avoid criticizing. You know, in general, you're trying to avoid criticism, let alone someone who's advanced, right? Because when we take the things, if they do anything wrong, they're not advanced. No, that's called prema. So if it's anything less than that, then there's something wrong. So just as they could be doing something wrong, our criticism of them could also be wrong. And we'll consider our criticism as just, oh, it's in pursuance of bhakti. But is it? Criticizing devotees, where is that, as you mentioned, you know, where is, it's not one of the nine processes of bhakti. It's not one of the 64 angas. Like that. Does that make sense? So the whole point is what's the consideration? Pointing out a fault is only as valuable as much as you can establish what is the actual correct thing to do. But by pointing out the fault, then it's done. Like you see in politics. One political leader finds the fault in the other political leader. And then having found the fault, they think they've done a good job. Because now the public, they won't like that he has a fault, so they won't vote for him. And the person who's found the fault, because you found the fault, generally the logic is, oh, he found the fault, he must be good. Rather than, he found the fault because he's bad. He's looking for faults. Right? At that. So one always has to be very, very careful of this platform. Right? We'll point out faults in as much as they're not useful for bhakti, like the impersonal path, the sahajiyas, you know, the engrossed karmis, those who are atheists, those they're not useful in bhakti. That's why they're pointed out. Because otherwise we'll take them as just normal, that they're standard, they're okay. You know? So 1360. Thus, it is said in the Narasimha Purana, a person who is dedicated completely to the Lord may show externally serious contamination, but internally he is pure. The full moon, though marked by the figure of a rabbit, is never overcome by darkness. Srila Prabhupada. In the Nrisimha Purana, it is said, if a person has completely engaged his mind, body, and activities in the service of the Supreme Godhead, but externally he is found to be engaged in some abominable activities, these abominable activities will surely be very quickly vanquished by the influence of his staunch devotional force. Right? So that means you have to back that up. See, someone's very nicely situated and very nicely doing devotional service. Something goes wrong, it's the continuation of that service that will make it go, you know, make it better. Good association, continuing in the service. So that you don't get association and you remove from the service, how that will solve anything. It doesn't even solve anything materially. It just makes those who have a sense of mundane justice satisfied that they did something. When it's akarma, nothing's happening. Karma means something's going on. This is akarma, means nothing's going on. So you did nothing to improve them. They're not engaged in anything that can improve them. How is this an improvement? How is this devotional service? End quote. The example is given that on the full moon there are some spots which may appear to be pockmarks. Still, the illumination spread by the full moon cannot be checked. Similarly, a little fault in the midst of volumes of devotional service is not at all to be counted as a fault, right? Because you're looking at the volumes of devotional service. It's not that if there's a fault, now you can take all that devotional service and just put it on the side. Attachment for Krishna is transcendental bliss. Amid unlimited volumes of transcendental bliss, a spot of some material defect cannot act in any way. Right? So the more they're situated, the less these things have effect. Does that make sense? Srila Jiva Goswami. A person may show serious contamination. This means that it is seen externally that he performs forbidden activities. However, he shines with internal bhakti, which cannot be defeated by anyone. He is incomparable. A particular case, the moon is introduced to support the general principle. He is called Artantara Nyasa. Oh, this is called Artantara Nyasa. In the Hari Vamsa, it is said, Loke Lokesh Chaya Mayam Lakshma Tavanke Shasha Samgitam. The dark spot on the moon is called a rabbit. Though there is a fault in the beauty of the moon, that fault is only superficial. 1361. Rati is naturally and eternally unstable because of its continuous, ever-increasing desires for pleasing the Lord, and it is full of bliss. Manifesting this instability in the form of a variety of sensory bhavas, it is tastier than millions of moons. Right? So yeah, now they've gone back to just explaining the position of it. Yes?
Can you give it more like a personal example? Because moon is an abstract example. We don't mind the spots on the moon.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
But then person on the level of, because we discuss bhav, and then he has like serious, I can't imagine what it means, you know, serious. How is it said there? Like gross.
Seen externally, he performs forbidden activities.
Yeah, gross contamination. Our idea is that on the level of anartha and nivriti, all the gross things are gone.
But that's 75%. That level of anartha and nivriti is 75%. See, so if 25% is there, then we'll count it. You know, it's just like, let's say you're doing a maha cleaning on your house, let's say on the living room. When you get to 75%, you start thinking you've done a pretty good job. You know, unless someone's there, you don't, maybe don't go much further. Maybe you go to 80% and then stop. Right? Like that. Like I remember seeing in, I think where it was, maybe it was, yeah, the one temple, that you have one room, you know, the room, the whole area would be less than just right here. It would be less than that. But the devotees that would go in to clean, they could spend 5-6 hours cleaning it. And that's like on a regular basis. You know, they'll do the daily cleaning, but then they'll do the maha cleaning. They can spend 5-6 hours just on that, even though they did that 5-6 hours of cleaning like 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before. You know, so it's just how far you can go with that. So generally our level is not necessarily that great. So that's the whole point, is it's considered, it's good, it's solid. You become steady. The main point is this steady devotional services, that's what we're trying to accomplish. So if one's steadily doing, even if something goes wrong, you're still going to come back to that steadiness. You know, it's just like, let's say something is there, you know, you're regularly getting up early, chanting all your rounds, doing all your different things like that, going to bed on time and all that. Then something comes up, you get a phone call or somebody drops in and like that, and you spend half the night up talking, and then the next morning you sleep in and all that. So now it's a matter of now all that time, that's all gone. Why did that happen? How could that happen? He's such a good sadhaka. How could he stay up on that? How could he get up late? You know, all these things. It just means, you know, then, you know, you've taken that extra rest, maybe take a nap in the day, and the next day you'll be back to it. Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about here. So we're talking about someone who you see is nicely situated in devotional service, is steady in devotional service. Therefore, for them, just their continuance in that devotional service, that will remove all whatever is the contamination. Does that make sense? It has that power, especially on the platform of bhava here. But it doesn't mean that there's not association. Especially when you come down to the mud platform, then, you know, more association than that. Prabhupada, some senior devotees that have difficulty, Prabhupada would take them with him and travel with them. You know, they travel with Prabhupada for like 3 months. And then when they're back stable and everything again, then they go back to doing their service. It wasn't that, oh, they can't do that service anymore. It's not, you know, temple president's having a problem, they travel with Prabhupada, then they just go back to being the president. So, you know. So the difficulty comes as we have our own ideas of morality, and that's where the problem comes up. Our own standards. So either it's standards that are made up, right, so it's Niyamagraha by we've rejected the Vedic, because we're talking the Vedic here, because we don't really understand. We have our own made up. Or it's the Smarta, who, you know, it's the rule itself, and because they've broken the rule, then they can't be in that position, because that's the only way you can identify that position is by the following of that rule. Does that make sense? So you'll get both. It means we don't come in contact so much with that, like that. It means we will when it comes to a general thing. The person, you'll find that the person who's very liberal and wants to break down all barriers, that if someone does, someone in a position of authority does something wrong and they're not in the circle of that individual, then they'll point out the Vedic reasons why they're fallen. But if you try to take those same laws and bring it over to his group and his area of influence, then he'll say, "Oh, we're not attached to the rules. We're not fanatics and this and that." So it's used as a political tool. It's not actually. Does that make sense? Or it may be there is that sense of justice, and here it's gross enough that they'll do, because if it's in a subtler place, let's say like Prabhupada says, philosophical fall down is worse than sensual.
Yeah.
But we'll always take sensual as like the end of the world, and philosophical as like life goes on. You know, but it's actually the opposite. Because the one, it's an obstacle, but by proper association and devotional service, it will go away. But the philosophical, even if you're in proper service and association, if one's not careful, it will distract one from pure devotional service. So it's the most dangerous, because you don't actually understand the philosophy given by Srila Rupa Goswami. You know what I'm saying? But that's tolerated quite comfortably. You know, or someone is too much into the Vedic, oh, that's not seem good. But someone is, you know, very much influenced by the modern society and acts and behaves in that way, that's tolerated. Yes, and so we're just applying our own value system onto it. But Rupa Goswami is trying to give us a gold standard by which we judge everything. Because otherwise, then our conditioning will get in the way. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is, the sense is 75, 25% may be there. And so problems will come up. But as you get more, then you see is that, generally speaking, the gross is gone, but the subtle still may be there. And from subtle, you can get gross. That's why they're situated in Krishna consciousness. The subtle may still be lingering. Then if something happens that turns gross, all you have to do is just be absorbed back into your service, and you go beyond that again. And that's what's going to get rid of that fragrance. Because prayaschitta doesn't get rid of anything. That's what the sixth canto is about.
Yeah.
You know? Because otherwise, today, would Ajameel be allowed back in the temple?
Mm.
Are you kidding? You know? It's just, he wouldn't be allowed. That's why it says, never happened before, won't happen again. Because we won't let it happen again. You know? Forget it, that guy's not coming back. Right? So that's the whole difficulty, is that we base it on the mundane. The point is can they act in? Can it means the thing is it's not that they continue with this forbidden activities. It means that they continue with their devotional service. Does that make sense? So you're trying to create an environment in which they can continue that devotional service, right? So only if, by the nature of it, they're too distracted by that, then you change the environment in which they're doing the service so that now it's favorable just for the service. So it's not a matter of punishment. Like, let's say someone has problem taking money. Don't have him be the cashier anymore. But he can organize, he can manage, he's responsible. Give him another responsibility that it's not about the money. You know what I'm saying? Because he can spend the money or something, but he can't keep all the money. Right, because if you have 10 rupees to go out buy something, it costs 10 rupees. It's very, you can't do anything with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. We even see in Manu that when the king, I can't remember what it is. It's like three or four different categories of ministers, or you know, the social officers, you know, the government officers. Is that depending upon their nature? They can be engaged in certain areas. So someone who has a problem with money is engaged in other governmental works that doesn't deal with the money. And then, let's say, it gives the thing of, like if someone has a problem with the senses, they can't be involved in anything like that has to do with the harem or women or any of that kind of social aspect. And I can't remember what the third one was, but there was a third one, and that, and then the prime minister is one who is not disturbed by any of those. But the other ones, you engage them according to where they go. This idea is that one fault anywhere and they can't do anything in management, that's crazy. You have problems with people, manage boxes, you know, manage the go down, you know, manage to go, you know, go out and buy the vegetables, you know. You know, you do something that's not going to argue with you, you know. You know, you throw the box of carrots into the back of the van not so nicely, the carrots aren't going to complain. Like that. You know, so it works. So it's just a matter of finding where the person goes. And because being situated, that's how you're going to overcome it. So the principle here is applied in prema. I mean, no, in bhava. But it still applies as it goes down. It's still the same thing. It's just, it means in bhava you don't have to make any adjustment really at all, because their service itself is going, their absorption, that's what's going to get rid of it. If you come down to the madhyama, then you may or may not need it. It may just be some association, some discussions, and it's corrected. The neophyte, then you have to see, it may or may not have to change situations. But you may not. Does that make sense? You know, so it's just like someone goes out on Sankirtan, they do really good, you know, they're really enthusiastic, but if you send them to a rave, then they get distracted. But you send them to a supermarket, they're fine. Right? Does that make sense? So then you just find where it works. Not that, oh, you know, he got distracted there, so you know, he can't do Sankirtan. Does that make sense? So you have to use the idea is if you have the faith that devotional service is what makes it work, then using your intelligence and seeing the nature of the person, what's available, then you'll find what's the best situation. But if we're taking it, no, something's gone wrong, therefore there must be a punishment, right there you've already lost. One's already on the mundane platform. So it doesn't matter what you do, it will be wrong. It'll be wrong. Yes?
I heard that from the level of anarcha nidriti, 25% of anarcha which devotee has produced by sattva guna. And now you told that sattva anarcha can be transformed to gross anarcha, and then devotee can fall down.
Yeah.
And I want to ask, what can be the reason? It can be that we're not careful in sadhana process, or it happened because of previous karma and maybe some period came. What is external or internal?
It's both. It's always both. It's just like you have the fourth verse of the Shikshastakam, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. So dhanam means you want facility. You know, money, facility, and all that. Means if one's, that's what you're looking for. So if some gross form of that comes up, you're willing to take it. Does that make sense? Janam, it means just that the people, you know, that people, you know, like, and it's a group, and you're, you know, like a celebrity, they're famous, right? And so they're recognized by people and all, but it's just general mass of people. So that's why it's different than sundarim, right? Because janam just means there's mass. And then from that mass, then they're getting dhanam, right? It means they give them free things, this, that, they, you know, they come, you know, yeah. You know, it's like they get in line to buy their coffee, and they see, oh, this one they get taken to the front of the line, or someone will buy the coffee for them, or, you know, so it's like that. It's that, so that's the dhanam. Sundarim means now it's people that you want to impress, right? So it's specific. Does that make sense? So those you find that you relate to, that you respect, that you, the them, like that, that's the sundarim aspect. You know, so in general, that, you know, for men that means women, for women that means men. You know, but in this day and age, it could be anything. You know, you're trying to catch the attention of that cucumber over there. You know? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Hopefully cucumber is not a bad word. Or
Not yet,
okay. I meant the vegetable. Does that make sense? So then it's theirs. You know, it's just like the girl's walking down the street and she's dressing, you know, very attractively. That everybody on both sides of the street are looking at her, she's happy with. But the person who comes up and talks to her should only be in the category of the sundarin. You know what I'm saying? You know, whatever class of person she wants to interact with, only they can come up and say something. All the others just have to, you know, stand there, you know, I mean, whatever it is, in awe and reverence and appreciate. Does that make sense? So that's what's not understood about this. So this is the subtle and then where the gross comes. That's why when the wrong guy comes up and talks to the girl, then it's like, you know, it's creepy. You know? If it's someone you want and they're stalking you, then it's good. You know, but if it's someone you don't want, then it's creepy. Does that make sense? So this is the subtle. The subtle turns into the gross. Subtle means it's there, but if there's no gross opportunity, you're not going to make it happen. But if it does come along, you may take it. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Okay? So it's just devotional process and all that, because these are desire seeds. See, most when we're working on justice, we're working on the third, the lowest level of the system of karma, which is just action and reaction. You do an action that produces a situation that will mature into giving you the reaction to what you've done. Right? But it doesn't deal with the seeds, because only devotional service will deal with the seeds. So this whole thing of punishing, taking out, of doing some service, then it means how are you going to get rid of these seeds? And that, why are there seeds? Because there's ajnana, there's ignorance. So that's only as we understand this Krishna sambandha, you know, this Krishna jnana, it means what is it? Sambandha jnana, about Krishna and our relationship with him, that now it starts to, because of that, we get rid of that ajnana there, that gets rid of the seeds. And the other reactions we're not really worried about. But we see the sense of material justice is always on the third level, the lowest level, with zero consideration of the upper two. That's what he's talking about here. Because of the bhava, then these upper two are going to go away. So if it's here today, he continues service, it will go away. But if you deal improperly, it'll never make it go away. It can't. It's not its level.
And it happens that in the course of purification of bhakti process, our seed gives us an opportunity to get something that we wanted previously, but what is unfavorable for Krishna bhakti.
Yeah.
We should just ignore it.
You just ignore it and it'll go away. It's like we give the example, you're cleaning the closet, everything has to come out of the closet, you'll see it. But if you don't react, it just, you know, it comes out of the closet and goes into one of those black plastic bags. Right? And then it goes out on the, what do you call it? You know, out on the curb, and then the truck comes along and takes it away. Does that make sense? But if seeing it, oh wow, yeah, I haven't seen this in a long time, and get into it, then it's going to end up on a shelf somewhere. So it's not going away. So that's why you just let it go. Before, you had to wait till it got past the fence. Now you wait till it comes in line of the fence, then you can start talking to you. Srila Jiva Goswami. Rati is described as unstable by nature, ushna. This doesn't mean unstable, this means in the emotional movement of it. It doesn't mean in remembrance of Krishna and absorption in devotional service. Because we saw before, they didn't want to waste any time. Right? Okay, rati is described as unstable by nature, ushna, due to ever-increasing desire for the Lord. And this state is without beginning, or continuous, anisha. Rati is also described as ananda, because it is full of joy. Thus, rati is characterized by continuous instability and very strong bliss. Ushmanam, in the second line, refers to various sanchari bhavas, or vyabhichari bhavas, which cause that instability. Footnote 14. Refer to Bhakti Rasamrita 2.14 for a description of the 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas. Yes, so the Vyabhichari, they're transitory emotions on emotions. Because in one emotion, you can have different emotions. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just, they just create more. That's the whole point of the instability. the emotions can move for their various things, and then the sanchari bhavas, then they create within the one thing. Yes.
The very definition of vyabhichara is opposite to the standard sthayi bhava that creates that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, so it's giving the taste of the opposite, yeah. End of the third wave of the eastern section entitled Bhava Bhakti. Chapter 19, devotional service in pure love of God. Right, so this will be the fourth. So you see is that the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has these four chapters. Right? So the first one is Samanya Bhakti. Then what Prabhupada gives is the sixth chapter. That is then the from there up until these until this is 18, 17, 16. Yeah, then is Sadhana Bhakti. That's the second chapter. Then you have the third chapter is there was Bhava Bhakti, and now the fourth one is this. Yes. And so Prabhupada has divided this up into 19 yes. chapters, but still within the context of this, so that it makes it easier for us to appreciate. Mm-hmm. Chapter 19, Devotional Service and Pure Love of God. Beginning of the fourth wave of the eastern section entitled Prema Bhakti. Right? So the book has these four sections, like that. It means the eastern side of the ocean, the southern, the western, and the northern, and then in each of those, then there's so many waves. So in the first side of the ocean, the eastern side, then there's four waves. So now we're in the fourth. Does this make sense? this is the poetic kind of way that they write. So they do, like you see Madhurya Kadambini, then it's at different clouds, cloud banks, and then within the cloud bank, it showers. Mm-hmm. You know? So does that make sense? So you have sections, and then you have, like you have cantos, 12 cantos, and then the chapters, like that. So this is just bringing into a poetic context, right? That matches. Right? Outline of Prema Bhakti. 1. Definition of Prema Bhakti. 2. Cause of Prema Bhakti. A. From Vaidhabhava arising from Vaidhisadhana. B. From Raganugiya Bhava arising from Raganuga Sadhana. C. From Krishna's mercy. And then from Krishna's mercy you have Mahatmi Jnana Yukta for Vaidha Bhaktas and Kevala for Raganuga Bhaktas. How Krishna's mercy is there. And then 3 stages leading to Prema. Right? Because In the southern section, then we're going to be discussing about in Prema. Then Prema, you have all the different categories. You have the Sthayi Bhava, Vibhava, Anubhavas, Sattvika Bhavas, and Vyabhichari Bhavas. Mm-hmm. So those will all be discussed. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Yeah. 4.1.4.1. When Bhava becomes extremely condensed, it is called Prema by the learned. It softens the heart completely and produces extreme possessiveness of the Lord in the experiencer. Srila Jiva Goswami. Having explained Bhava, the author now explains Prema. The main quality, Sarupa Lakshana, is its very condensed nature, Sandratma. The other two qualities are secondary characteristics, Tatasta Lakshana. It's another interesting way, sometimes if you do the, you talk about it, it means they, what do you call it? Here he's used main and secondary, or primary, or generally we're using primary and secondary. I just came across yesterday, TLC Prabhupada uses principal and marginal. Because sometimes primary and secondary people don't catch, but if you use principal and marginal, I think it would be easy. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Right, so the Tathasta means you might see the softness of the heart, you might see the extreme possessiveness. Being manifest. Not that it's not there. It's just like the devotee has the 26 qualities, but you don't always see them manifest. You know, like in Bhima, you don't always see humility manifest. But when we see in the gambling match, then Yudhishthira Maharaj is gambling everything away, and he's sitting there. He is, you know, steam's whistling out of his navel. That's for sure. And sparks, they say sparks are coming out of his eyes. He's that angry. But at the same time, that humility that he's his elder brother and he's the authority, he's going with it. So, does that make sense? So they become more hidden.
Yes. Also, Maharaj can mention that
Tatastha Lakshana, without the Swarup Lakshan, it cannot exist independently. If it is existing independently, that means it's
material.
It's material.
Yeah. Means is that, see, that's the difficulty, is that when you have the 26 qualities, the first one is the attachment to Krishna. Then the other 25 qualities, basically anyone will say they're good qualities. Right? Because it says you develop the qualities of the demigods. The demigods are those who tend to be a little materialistic. But they're willing to see it in context of God. So kinistadikars. Right? Well, the demons are, they have their systems, but they're not willing to see it in the context of God. Right? So, therefore, if we talk about the 25 qualities without the Swarup Lakshana, then we are talking about mundane qualities. It's that simple. So it always has to be in that context. So this point of bhava, the same, that now becoming extremely condensed, that's what makes prema. Then within that, then you're going to have these other two qualities of softens the heart completely and extreme possessiveness. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Having explained bhava, the author now explains prema. In prema, the heart, svanta, becomes extremely soft. Samya masri nita. In comparison to the preliminary condition of bhava, in which the heart becomes soft, right, now it's extremely soft. Right? Mm. Moreover, prema is condensed bliss. The highest state of bliss compared to the preliminary state of bhava. Right? So now we're putting bhava in this context. So when you come to prema, you say that's the preliminary. Then you see is that how much deeper it is. Right. Okay. Moreover, prema is condensed bliss, the highest state of bliss compared to the preliminary state of bhava, which has the preliminary appearance of bliss. Prema also has extreme possessiveness of Krishna. That type of bhava is called prema. Right? Before you saw it was a confidence in Krishna and bhava. That confidence that they try to please Krishna, Krishna will be pleased. Right? But here you see it comes to that extreme possessiveness. A doubt now arises. If bhava is the cause of prema, and if it transforms itself into prema, it called the material cause, upadana karanam, a prema, according to Shankya philosophy. But it is called? It is called, okay. Okay. Then bhava must give up its previous state and transform into prema. The effect cannot exist independently of the cause. It is similar to raw liquid sugar, which gives up its first state and becomes solid raw sugar. When the solid raw sugar appears, the raw liquid sugar no longer has a separate existence. Okay, how far are we going here? Okay, so this is still the doubt. The solid raw sugar then becomes white sugar, and then refined sugar. When the refined sugar exists, so refined sugar means rock candy. Right? Then liquid raw sugar, solid raw sugar, and white sugar no longer exist. Right? So this is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So that means these levels of sugar have always been there before, you know, in the industrial society they figured out white sugar. It was always there. It was just not considered as important. So they generally went with the, it means the liquid one you could use, but that's the drink or this or that, but they would generally use the solid one. You know, there or the purified one. Generally, sugar wasn't the prominent one being used. Does that make sense? Now it's just that was the one being used. In this case, also, bhava becomes prema, and thus bhava should no longer exist. When prema becomes sneha, and sneha becomes raga, then prema and sneha should both disappear, and only raga should remain. Moreover, if the highest state of mahabhava appears in radha and others, then all the previous states should disappear, right? So that's their argument. You have the one, then the other one disappears. So, he's pointing out, this is not true. Bhava becomes prema without giving up his previous state. Because of the achintya shakti present in rati, prema, sneha, rag, mana, pranay, anurag, and mahabhava, which are the supreme transformations of the Hladini Shakti. Thus, Bhava exists separately from Prema. Does that make sense? This is important because this also goes on the previous discussion we had, you know, that we just had, and also on a previous one we had about when one is up here, why is it mentioned, you know, the element of Rati, or there's Mahabhav, why is it mentioning Sneha? Because once you get to there, the other ones wouldn't exist.
Yes.
You understand? That's where that doubt will come from. It'll actually come from impersonalism.
Yes.
Or, oh, he's done this level of devotional service, these lower levels can't exist, and if they do, he never was on that level.
Yes.
Does that make sense? It's the same problem.
Right.
Yes.
Can we also say that this problem comes when people try to understand things purely intellectually?
Yes, yes.
Without understanding how to apply that?
Yes, purely intellectually or emotionally without using the intellect. So in other words, it doesn't have the balance of the two. And the identity is not fully in the stage of I am servant of Krishna. Because then we're saying, oh, this is wrong and that can't be this and that, but the point is if you're servant of Krishna, don't you want to see the other person advance? Or he says, no, they've done this wrong, how can they be, you know, the president, how can they be in charge? Like that. So then there's something else at play here. There's authority issues. Either you don't like authority, you want to be the authority, you have someone else that you wanted to be the president that didn't become the president, so now is your political opportunity. You know, stuff like this. Or it's, you know, you're working on the smarter thing where it's the rule, they broke the rule, that's it, they're finished. Because in karma, you know, let's say, as Prabhupada points out, you're doing one of these, let's say, ashramita yajnas. And this will take you a long time to do. Like a soma yajna, you know, which is less than that, but it's still a big yajna. It takes a year to perform. 9 months to prepare, and I think it must be those 2-3 months to actually do it. So, you can do an ashramita yajna in one per year. You can't do more than one per year because it just takes that long to set it up and arrange everything and all that. So then, during that whole time of that year and all the mantras chanted, everything, if one syllable of one word in one mantra is wrong, you lose the effect of the whole thing. So if someone's saying, oh, if they did this, then, you know, they can't be, you know, the authority. They're speaking from the platform of karma. Not even from Gyan or Bhakti, because Gyan is like, who cares? You know, it's about the renunciation is the important thing. So they were renounced before, you know, he's a good brahmachari and all this, but then he got distracted. So, you know, being a good brahmachari is the real thing. So then for them, they wouldn't even have the option of he wants to get married. No, you know, it's just, you know what I'm saying? But in Bhakti, it's like how karma and Gyan are engaged in Krishna's service. So what I'm saying? So you're going to look at how can they be engaged. You won't be looking at this, you know, how you say, you know, element of retribution. Is that? Yes.
We came across this point many times. It seems that Mayavadi, although posing as a broad-minded, they can accept parallel existence of things.
It's
very narrow for them.
Very narrow. Means you'll see anything other than the Vaishnava perspective is narrow. Within the mundane, you'll see a little bit broader this way or that way, occasionally, but it can never be the breadth of what is given by the Vaishnava. That's why I said broad-minded. They're called broad-minded. So the thing of liberal, it includes, broad-minded can includes liberality. Right, but it also includes the conservative element. It's a balance between them. While liberal means it's liberal without the proper balance of conservative, or conservative means it's without the proper balance of liberal. Right, one's about the collective, at least in the modern democratic. Liberal means it's about the collective, not about the individual, though they talk about the individual to try to make it look like it's balanced, but it's not about the individual. And then the conservatives, it's about the individual. But then the problem comes that there's not enough, collective. If the collective aspect is not there, then it won't function as a together. So there must be some restriction. Although they talk about, you know, we want freedom, but you have to give up some freedom to work together. And if you're going to work together, but who's working together? And if it's not individuals, then what's the point? So that's the point. The Vaishnava can properly balance that. That's why you see, you don't see any, you know, with the Vaishnava kings and all that in the histories, you don't see revolutions and this and that. You know, Vena, there's a problem. People are grumpy about Duryodhana. though with politics, you know, and vice for the Brahmins, he worked that out. It was okay. In other words, it was comfortable, but it wasn't that they liked it, because as soon as Yudhishthira comes back, then everybody's happy. You know what I'm saying? So that one has to see that the balance is only there actually in the Vedas, and in the Vedas, in the understanding of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, from the and that can only be appreciated from the angle of the Vaishnavas. Then you can see these things simultaneously. That's why we can work in environments that you see other sampradayas can't work in at all. You go into any place where these other sampradayas are functioning. They're places of, you know, worship, they're places of learning, their own houses and all that. You'll see that there's very much a standard there that they're all following, and that's what makes them who they are. While for us, you could go door to door and it would be a different experience every time. Different temple, different this, it's all that. There's a general principle that's there, but the details in that are very different. Right? Because it has that stronger principle to hold it together. You know, and those who forget about the principal point and get into the detail, but according to their conditioning, that's where a problem starts. Point is yes, you have conditioning. It's accommodated in the principle, but you have to see where it's accommodated in the principle. You know, just like we were saying, you know, the road is the path, but anyone can start from anywhere to get to the road. Like that. We're not saying if you're not on the road, then you can't go. We're saying until you're on the road, it's not going to work good, so anybody can get to that road. But if, you know what I'm saying? But if we say that, no, being out in the fields is just the same as the road, and it's just as good, in fact, it's better, it's more natural, you know. Like sitting in the rice field here with all this water, my skin's nicely hydrated and all that, and everybody knows the miracle of the, you know, that clay and all that, you put that on your skin, you know, so many benefits. Like that, so hey, I'm better, you know, you're just sitting on some asphalt there. You know, so these kind of things, you change the context, that's what in logic called chala. Mm-hmm. You change the context and then it suddenly sounds great. You know, it's like in the argument that you point out the weakness in their argument and they change the context from the argument to a personal thing and now you're attacking them. I said this, you're attacking that, so you're attacking me as a person. You know, they just changed, it's chala. They just change the context. It's cheating. It's not the actual thing. Unless you're dealing with a cheater, then of course you use chala because they're not going to understand what's going on. Does that make sense? Okay. So we see is that, you know, we'd say, okay, yeah, of course, what's the big deal? But the last conversation we had that Rupa Goswami was giving about not finding that fault means we're saying if they move up to here, there can't be anything there, so they can't be at this level. If there's any symptoms of lower, they can't be the higher. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It's the same thing, but this is on a more advanced level, because now everything here is in its pure state. Because each one of these adds rati, adds something, prema, sneha, raga, mana, pranay, anuraga, and mahabhava. They each have their particular flavor that they're adding to the whole rasa. But the context of one's realization is going to be at whatever level you're at. But the taste that's going to be there is going to be, it's going to move around. Does that make sense? Yeah. Thus, bhava exists separately from prema. Oh, here, footnote 15. Though bhava matures into prema, it should also be eternal and thus remain ever, even after prema appears. Devotee can have experiences of lesser intensity in bhava or more intensity in prema, sneha, raga, etc. Bhava takes one of five principal forms as stai bhava. Shantarati, dasyarati, shakyarati, vatsalyarati, or madhuryarati. This remains with the devotee permanently, with the exception of shantarati, which may transform into higher ratis. Of course, the impurities present in bhava immediately following sadhana in the forms of anattas will not be present when it's experienced at a later stage. Right? So the point of the rati, that attraction to Krishna, that's not going to go away, though it's situated at the platform of rati or bhava. But that's not going to go away. Does that make sense? Even if you're experiencing higher levels of rasa, but the rati is the same. Does that make sense? the gopis in the conjugal rasa, even though they may be functioning at the level of Mahabhav, the rati that they are attracted to Krishna in conjugal rasa still remains.
Yes.
It's not that it's gone away. You know, they still have that love for Krishna, sneha. They still have that attachment, like that rag. You know, that means excuse the sneha. It's like the nourishment, the sweetness of the relationship. The rag, then that attachment, man, that anger with Krishna, like that. So it'll just. There's just different aspects of it are going on, but the level at which it's functioning may be this higher one. So it's not that they're getting a lower taste from them. Does that make sense? It's all within this context. So, yeah.
Uh-huh. Can we say that in the same way that prema is not your face, in prema it's only concentrated of all the ingredients before?
Yes, well, the ingredients before were extensions of rati.
Yes.
Like that. So the whole point is it's just that it's coming to its natural platform where it would be manifest in its natural state. So therefore prema then is what you see in bhava, that's then is condensed. That's its natural state. So the let's condense, that's bhava, and then just part of, you know, a smaller portion of that, that's attachment, less than that is rati.
Yes.
And then just aspects of it will be the other.
Yes.
You know, the smarana dasa, varana dasa, and shravana dasa.
Mm-hmm.
These will be just extended down through this, shraddha to prema.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
Because, like you said, faith, mature faith in prema. So that means faith is also there,
yes,
involved, and that's what's extended down. But that's all you have is the faith. That's why then you have that. Right? So that's hence the saying, keep the faith. Right? Because if you lose that, then, yeah, you don't have anything.
Yeah.
Thus, bhava exists separately from prema, and sneha and other advanced stages exist separately from prema. An example is given. The balya body of Krishna attains a little more sweetness and attains the paugandha state, but without giving up the balya state. The paugandha body then attains more excellence and becomes the kaishor body, without giving up the previous condition. So whatever is attractive to Krishna before, that's there in the next state. What's there in kumara is there is in the paugandha. But there's something more. There's more sweet. And then the paugandha, whatever is there, and that is there in the kaishor, plus more.
Right.
It is unlike the material body, which on attaining boyhood gives up its baby body. This is because all the pastimes of Krishna during all his ages, with all his abodes, are eternal. Right. So you also have that. He moves on to the paugandha pastimes, but the balya pastimes are still going on eternally. And then he moves to kaishor. The paugandha are also going on eternally. That's why Goloka is so big. Because all these are going on at once. And depending upon the taste of the devotee, he's in that place in Goloka that is specifically manifesting that particular sweetness. So, yeah. When Krishna enters his paugandha body, the balya body disappears. Okay. When Krishna enters his paugandha body, the balya body disappears and then appears in the universe in which his balya pastimes are about to begin. Right? So, whatever the pastime he does here, the next moment it's in the next universe, in the next universe. So it's just eternally, it's going around, so it's eternal. Right?
Quite special.
Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Veta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.